Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus. Amen. What was your first impression, if you can go back to the very first time you ever walked into St. Andrew Church? The first time I ever walked into St. Andrew Church was probably around June 24th or 5th, 1980. And I remember walking in, and my reaction was, wow, this is really an awesome church. And of course, the very first thing that caught my attention was the cross, right? The Christus Rex, the kingly Christ with Jesus, not the suffering Jesus, but the resurrected Jesus coming back as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and of course the cross to remind us of what Jesus did for us on the cross. But there's so much more, so much architecture that to me is just amazing. If you look along the cornices along the top, have you ever noticed the intricate woodwork up there and how beautiful that is? Or look at the capitals on top of the pillars and the unique woodwork that's there, and also along the front of the balcony. It's just so much architecture here, and even the front of the church. I remember when it was just all blue, and then in 1991 when we put the clouds in the back, and then early 2000s we did this painting, which kind of looks like the sunrise, and actually looks like the sunrise coming over Lake Michigan, if you ever get to see that. Just an awesome thing. And then you take a closer look and you notice that we have a window for marriage, a window for the Lord's Supper, a window for confirmation, and a window for holy baptism. And then you've got windows for each of the petitions of the Lord's Prayer down here, and all of the apostles around the top. And you go, wow, it's an awesome place. Did you notice those were the same words that Jacob used? Listen to the words that Jacob used. When Jacob awoke from his sleep, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I was not aware of it." He was afraid and said, "How awesome is this place! This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate to heaven." What was there? What was there to make it awesome? What was there to make it the house of God? Well, I suppose the vision, right? The vision he saw of the angels going up and down on that ladder. But by the time Jacob spoke these words, there was nothing there. You know, he was on a journey. There was nothing there. So I want to ask you, if you walked into this church and it was just a plain building, with none of the beautiful architecture, no stained glass windows, just a plain wooden altar in front, would this still be an awesome place? Would it still be the house of God and the gate to heaven? And it would. And that's what we want to reflect on today, is what makes this place so awesome? What makes it the house of God? What makes it the gate to heaven? To understand that, just a little background to what happened here. Jacob and Esau were twin brothers of Isaac, and according to Jewish tradition, what Isaac would do is he would confer the birthright on his oldest son, who would have been Esau. And what that meant was Esau would get a double portion of the inheritance, but even more important for Esau would be he would get the promise of the Savior who was promised to be born through Abraham and through Jacob, and according to their tradition then, through Esau. But God had told Isaac when the twins were born that he wanted Jacob to get that birthright. And as the boys were growing up, Jacob became the favorite of his mother, and Esau became the favorite of his father, and obviously that that favoritism caused a whole bunch of problems, is especially when Isaac was old and he was going blind. And what he was going to do is he was going to confer the birthright onto Esau in direct defiance of God's command and God's will. Well, Rebekah, the mother, heard about that, so she decided to take matters into her own hand, and she told Jacob to go and take a couple lambs from the flock, and while Esau was out hunting, to cook a meal, to go in front of his father and basically lie to him and deceive him and say he was Esau, and the plan worked. Jacob went there, he lied to his father, he deceived his father, he said, "I'm your son Esau," and what happened was Isaac, thinking it was Esau, gave the birthright to Jacob, which of course he was supposed to do in the first place. The problem started when Esau came in from the field and saw what had happened. He got extremely upset and he threatened to kill his brother. So what happened is Jacob had to leave. And he was literally fleeing for his life. And as he lay down to sleep that night, he took a stone for a pillow. Wouldn't have been my first choice, but I guess he took a stone for a pillow. He laid down and he saw that vision. But the important thing are the words that God said to him. "I am the Lord, the God of your father Abraham, the God of Isaac. I will give you your descendants in the land you are lying. Your descendants will be like the dust of the earth. You will spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, and the south. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you and your offspring." What do you think was going through Jacob's mind when his brother threatened to kill him and he was fleeing for his life? Now, you got to think that what was going through Jacob's mind is, how could I have done that? How could I lie to my father? How could I deceive everyone when he knew that what he really should have done is he and his mom should have simply gone, confronted Isaac and said, "Hey, Dad, this is what we were supposed to do in the first place," and let God take care of it. But as he was thinking about all of that, he must have also wondered, what does God think of me? What does God think of my actions, of my lying and my deceiving? And maybe thinking, well, do I even have the birthright? Do I even have the promise of the Savior? And that's when he laid down, and that's when he saw the vision, and that's when God assured him that he did. And he spoke exactly the same words he had spoken to Abraham and to Isaac, saying that he would give him the land, and of course the most important words, "Through you and your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed." The promise of the Savior was his. What did that mean for Jacob? What it meant for Jacob is God, he knew now that God had forgiven him, that he was still God's child, and he had the promise. And my friends, that's what made it the awesome place, the house of God, and the gate to heaven. It wasn't the vision. It was what it meant. And it was the words God spoke to him. It was an awesome place, the house of God, and the gate to heaven, because he knew he was forgiven. And he knew God still loved him. What is it that makes this such an awesome place, the house of God and the gate to heaven? It's not the beautiful architecture. It's not the beauty of our building. It's what happens inside this building. Have you ever felt like Jacob? Have you ever lied to your parents? Now, don't shake your head yes if they're sitting right next to you, right? But yes, we have. Have you ever deceived one of your siblings? Yeah, we've done those things, and we've done a whole lot worse. Has it ever gone through your mind after you've committed a sin, or maybe a whole bunch of them, and you thought, what does God think of me now? And we know, right? We know that God is not pleased with our sin. He doesn't like it when his children sin. So what do we do? Well, we repent, right? But one of the things we do is we come here. We come to this house of God. We confess our sins as we did this morning. We hear the wonderful assurance that our sins are forgiven. Again, as we did this morning. We come here Sunday after Sunday to hear the word of God. And that word of God has both law and gospel, right? And we hear the law of God convict us of our sins. And it should, right? Because we're guilty. We confess that we've disobeyed God by what we do, by what we think, by what we say, by the things we do and the things we don't do. But then we hear the wonderful gospel, right? We hear that wonderful message of the cross, that wonderful message that Jesus lived a perfect life for us, that Jesus died for us, and that our sins are forgiven. We get the same assurance Jacob did that we are still God's children, that God still loves us, we are forgiven, and we're still going to heaven. We come here and we receive the same body and blood that Jesus gave and shed for us on the cross to be assured individually. This is my body, this is my blood given and poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. And we depart in peace knowing our sins are forgiven. How many of us have brought our children here to have them baptized so that our child becomes a child of God and the Holy Spirit starts that beautiful miracle of faith in that child's heart? That's what makes this an awesome place. That's what makes this the house of God. That's what makes this the gate to heaven. And it always has. Not only for the past 36 years since I've been here, but for the past 130 years that the gospel has been preached here. That's what's made the last 36 years so fulfilling for me, is the opportunity to share the love of Christ. I am going to end this the same way I ended a sermon here, I don't know, a few years ago, but it's a story about a pastor who had served in the ministry for over 40 years. He was now 90 years old, and the congregation was observing his 90th birthday, and someone asked him, they said, "Pastor, in all your 90 years of life, in your 40 plus years of ministry, what was the most impressive thing?" And the old pastor just leaned on his cane and he just looked at them and he said, "Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so." And then he sat down. Okay, you finished before I did. When I look back on 36 years of ministry here and 40 years of ministry total, what is it that impresses me And I hope what is it that has impressed you is the love of Jesus. And now, on my terms, can we sing the song together, please? Jesus loves me, this I know. Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible.